right, Bill Barty, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors, and we've talked about it before, but I am a firm believer that the Iditarod is the last great race in the world.
Well, you won't get any argument from me.
Now, the thing that we've discovered over the years is that the Iditarod takes in a lot of different events other than just dog sledding.
Well, that's right, and we've talked about one that's invitation only. We've talked about a bunch of things here on the Carolina Outdoors over 20 years, Don. We have covered a bunch of different things, including sled dog mushing and how to say mush correctly.
Or in the north, as they say, mushing.
I think we might say that in the south, too. If you
nah,
put a little...
it's mushing in the clover, anyway.
Yeah, unless you're talking about liver mush.
Yeah.
But anyway, welcome back, everybody. Don Yeager there, Bill Barty here. But one of the prizes that we have gotten to talk about, and one of the people that we've gotten to meet, is a gentleman from North Carolina who took on the Iditarod, but not with sled dogs. He did have a sled, but he didn't have any dogs. And he was invited to the Invitational 3 years ago anyway, and has learned along the way from 2014 to 2015 to 2016 to 2017. We're going to learn about 2018 from Peter Ripmaster, Invitational Iditarod, Invitational, shall we say, completer.
I would say reigning king, personally.
Yeah, he is the king. He was in the king,
yes, sir.
King in my book beforehand, but let's bring him on. Peter Ripmaster, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thank you so much. Good to be back with you guys again.
All right, now tell us about the Invitational.
Yes, it's a, you know, an invitational race that is all human powered. We go a week before the dogs, and we go on foot like I do. Some people bike it on fat tire bikes, and a few people ski it. And there's a 130-mile race, a 350-mile race, and a 1,000-mile race. And a 1,000-mile on foot is what has been my goal the last few years, and I finally slayed the dragon this year.
So this is happening in the middle of winter in Alaska with really no support.
Absolutely no support. We are on our own. We send a bunch of food up to random towns so that when we get into town, we can go and pick up food and resupply. And once in a while, we'll get a hot meal at a lodge or something and get to shower and sleep, which is a treat. But mostly it's just it's very tough conditions out on the trail and a lot of sleep deprivation. And it takes a long time to get anywhere when you're just on foot. So you're talking most of the time about 3 miles an hour.
3 miles an hour, days on end, pulling a sled with your supplies.
Yes, sir. About 40, 45-pound sled. I ended up averaging 38 miles a day for 26 and a half days. And so that's what got me to Nome. That's what it took to get to Nome.
38 miles a day?
38 miles a day for 26 and a half days.
And this was not on paved roads by any means.
there was probably less than 1% of roads in that. So that's all wilderness mostly and over frozen lakes and rivers and mountains and all types of weather and tough things that you got to get through. But somehow I pulled it all together this year and more than anything, I'm just glad to be done with this. This has been a huge, huge piece of my life for the last 5-6 years, and I can't tell you how good it feels to be back in Carolina in the spring.
Well, I know it. We know you lost 30 pounds, and if people are just joining the Carolina Outdoors, whether they're waking up early on a Saturday morning or maybe they're joining us via podcast, we've got Peter Ripmaster on, who just completed the Invitational, the Iditarod Invitational. Now, at Jesse Brown's, we have upcoming May 17th, Storyteller Night at Jesse Brown's from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a Thursday night. Peter Ripmaster is one of the alums of Storyteller Night, and he told the story of him getting into running. He told the story of him getting into the Iditarod Invitational. It's an awesome story. But let me give a little background, and then we're going to find out about 2018. In 2014, Peter, you took on the 350-mile Iditarod, raising money for Hope Chest for Women and that sort of thing. You pulled a 90-pound sled and came in last, completing that 350-miler. In 2015, learning from your mistakes, you got your sled down in half, 45 pounds or so, and placed third in the 350-miler. In 2016, you took on the full 1,000 miles. 4 days into the race, you fell into the freezing Tatina River, almost died, got out, but still completed 500 miles or so. So with that as your background, tell us about 2018 and what happened differently and what was going on in your mind to help you not just complete it, but win it.
Well, I've always had unwavering confidence in my goal. Like deep down in my soul, I've known that I have what it takes to do it. So that I have to say that that's been a big part of this, and I have a core group of people that have believed in me too. And I can't say it's always been everyone's always thought that I'd finish, but there were 2 years when I attempted to get to Nome. So that would be 2016 and 2017. You spoke of the accident. Falling into the river, getting out, going 500 miles. The following year, last year, we dealt with minus 60 Fahrenheit on the trail, and nobody decided to go past 350 on foot. So really, when you think about it, that's two times I've had to come back to Asheville, not completing a goal, not completing what I set out to do, and then all of a sudden you realize you have, you know, almost a full year before you get back up on the trail and get another shot at putting it together. So you guys as sportsmen would appreciate this. I was always, when I think of myself as a baseball player, I was always really good with two strikes. And that's kind of how I felt about this trip this year, was that I had two strikes against me. I had tried twice, and here I was the third time. Now, I'm not big on leaving my family, my wife, my two little girls, for 40 days. That is very difficult on my family, on me as a dad and husband. And so this year going into it, after having 2 years of failing, I was willing to deal with anything out there on the trail, knowing that I had to persevere and keep going. I wasn't going to let anything stop me. And so I had that mentality. And then as far as what it took to win, that was not my goal, because there's this guy, his name's Tim Hewitt, and Tim Hewitt has been to Nome 9 times on foot. Tim Hewitt is Elvis Presley of our endurance racing. He was in the race this year on foot, and 500 miles into the race, he decided to stop. He dropped out of the race for a few different reasons, but he dropped out of the race, which he never does. So all of a sudden, the guy that's always going to win is not in it anymore, and now it opens up an opportunity for me and a friend of mine who was hiking close to me the most of the whole time to try and win. And all my competitive nature came out, and I had to use everything in me to continue on for 26 days. But I was the first one to finish out of 6 people that were trying to get to Nome on foot this year. 2 of us finished. And my friend finished about a half day behind me. So that's how it shook out this year.
Now, not only that, but the devil sent a temptation in the form of a snowmobiler, I understand.
Oh, and that happens regularly. We have people come by that you know, they don't really get that we're in a race, and they think we're just out, you know, trekking through the wilderness. And this year I had a guy pull up, and I'm telling you, this was like the worst weather I dealt with. It was snowing sideways, and he's like, hey, and he's screaming, but he's 2 feet from me, and he's saying, you're in the middle of the storm, right in the middle of it. And I'm like, well, thanks for telling me, you know. I didn't know that. And he's like, all right, hop on, let's go. And I was like, man, I'm fine, I'm moving, you know. Like, he's like, you're not going to take a ride to the next checkpoint. I was like, man, I'm in a race on foot. If I jump on your snow machine, I'm done. I'm disqualified. So, no, man, you got to go. He's like, you're a badass. I was like, all right, whatever. You know, and he takes off on his snow machine, and I take off in my, at that time, 80-minute per mile sufferfest. And that's all part of the story.
Peter, you're the kind of guy that when he said you're in the middle of the storm, you said to yourself, well, I'm halfway out of it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I know. And honestly, it's like I do, well, it can't get much worse than this.
That's right.
So that's kind of how I felt.
Yeah, exactly right. If it's that bad, it's got to get better.
That's it.
Listen, Peter Rittmaster is our guest here on the Carolina Outdoors. Don Yeager there, Bill Barty here. Peter, listen, you won it before you started it in our book. I know not in yours, but you did complete the full 1,000 miles, finishing first, 26 days, 13 hours, 44 minutes. You mentioned you're a family man. We can't get away from that. You are a husband and a father of two young girls. Tell us how they kept up with you. I mean, you were gone a month, so they are part of your support. How did they react when you got back to the Asheville airport?
Well, the funny thing about the return was, first of all, guys, I got sick towards the end of the trip. I mean, I'm going to just say, and you're going to have to do a little just guesswork here, I had some serious, serious stomach issues and digestive issues, okay? So we're talking about being on the trail and having those issues towards the end of my trip. And so that did not get any better over probably 2 weeks after I got done with the trip. So you're talking about a guy that's massively dehydrated, had lost 30 to 35 pounds, cannot keep any food down, cannot keep a smoothie down, cannot keep water down. And all of a sudden, I'm flying back from Anchorage to Asheville, feeling like at any second it's going to get ugly. And it's just a terrible 15, 16 hours getting home. And then as I'm flying from Atlanta, the last leg from Atlanta to Asheville, I check Facebook and see that somebody writes, hey, we're going to surprise Pete and we're all going to be at the airport. And all I wanted to do was hug my family and slide into my truck and get home. And next thing I know, I get off and there's news people, there's balloons everywhere, there's people hugging me and asking me questions, and it was just mayhem to me. Someone that, you know, like 48 hours before was in the middle of the wilderness, totally content. Now I got all this. Meanwhile, I just feel awful. And so, you know, it's like trying to answer questions and put a happy face on, but meanwhile, nobody knows how tore up I am and beat up and just depleted.
Man on the move. Peter Rittmaster, thanks for joining us. Congratulations here from the Carolina Outdoor guys. We're proud of you and glad you're back safe and sound and recovering. Also, thanks to Eric Osterhaus from the U.S. National Whitewater Center and Nathan Mallard from the Come See Me Festival. For T.J. Boggs, he's Don Yeager. I'm Bill Barty saying get outdoors, pick up your trash, and we'll see you next time right here on the Carolina Outdoors.